Welcome to Osteopathy Unplugged. I'm Steve Paulus Dio.
And I'm Bonnie Gintis Dio. We're American osteopathic physicians, and we're a married couple devoted to the practice and the study of osteopathic medicine. We developed Osteopathy Unplugged out of our passion for osteopathy and the recognition that our profession needs a more intimate conversation about who we are and what we do.
Join us as we sit in conversation, talking about the inner and outer workings of osteopathy. Welcome to the next installment of our Practice of Osteopathy series, episode 23, To Sleep, Perchance to Dream. Is it okay or not okay for a patient to fall asleep during an osteopathic treatment? There are so many central questions in osteopathy. Most are big picture items. A few are essential ways of practicing clinical osteopathy. Then there are those other questions, the so-called little questions. These are the queries we ask our teachers, and we get a mixed response. Sometimes our good questions are met with the wall of obfuscation, or often we get no response at all. The question of whether it's okay or not okay for a patient to fall asleep during an osteopathic treatment is one of those little questions where we often get a snappy retort or we are met with a non-committal shrug. We hope to shine some light on this matter. We may raise more questions than answers, while at the same time offering our opinions based upon our extensive osteopathic clinical experience.
When we decided to do this episode, this was one of those episodes I thought was simple and straightforward when we threw out the idea. And as we conversed about it, we realized how complex it was and how many angles we hadn't really spelled out explicitly before. So this episode has turned into quite a deep dive for us.
We found the angles.
Yes.
The lead title of this episode is taken from Shakespeare's play Hamlet. In Act 3, Scene 1, during the famous to be or not to be soliloquy, Hamlet is speaking to himself as he debates the merits of life or death, of action or inaction. He ponders with his patented form of vacillation, to die, to sleep, perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. The topic of this episode is not a life or death issue, but it is an either-or topic of concern. To continue referencing this dramatic monologue from the same scene, we're not debating the merits of suffering the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune with inaction, but we are considering taking arms against a sea of troubles, or to translate Hamlet in a less violent manner, to challenge and disagree with the status quo. More on that later.
I'm glad you're giving us a little bit of background about Shakespeare. It's challenging enough for some native English speakers. So I tip my hat to our listeners whose first language is not English. Steve will explain many of the references from his favorite of Shakespeare's plays as we go along.
Well, let's continue with the theme of Shakespeare.
Okay. Tell us, Steve.
Shakespeare spoke of sleep in many complex ways. It was poetically equated to a type of death. Or in Measure to Measure, he compared the qualities of sleep to youth versus the dreams of the old. In Act 3, Scene 1, the Duke says to Claudio, "Thou hast nor youth nor age, but as it were an after-dinner sleep, dreaming of both." He's directly denigrating the poor quality of an after-dinner sleep as inferior to the real sleep of nighttime, while at the same time telling Claudio that he's never satisfied with his life and is always dreaming of what he doesn't have. Just as an after-dinner nap is a lowly form of sleep, we will argue that the type of napping that occurs during an osteopathic treatment is modest at best, and we think potentially unfavorable at the worst. What we are going to call a treatment-associated nap is not a real healing sleep. Nobody doubts the essential merits of sleep, but this unusual type of napping during an osteopathic treatment is overrated in our opinion. In this podcast, we will deconstruct the common practice of treatment-associated napping and reveal what it is and what it isn't.
I think in this day and age, people falling asleep on the treatment table is somewhat inevitable, and a lot of people just accept it without thinking. So this episode is to bring our consciousness, shine a light on something that many people might have not really thought about before.
Yeah, I don't accept anything in osteopathy without thinking. Okay, everyone knows I love Shakespeare, but you don't know that Hamlet is my favorite of his many plays. if you really want to discover some of the varieties of human behavior, then study Shakespeare. He was a brilliant observer of human nature. I'd like to rephrase the main title of our podcast to read, To Sleep, Perchance to Heal. Bonnie and I are asking you to consider what type of sleep is healing and what category may not be helpful, and to deliberate with your osteopathic selves the many myths and fantasies that need examination and may need expulsion from our canon. True nighttime sleep, with all of its depth and complexity, is the real sleep, not the fake sleep of an after-dinner nap or the imitation sleep of a treatment-associated nap.
I think the word fake is a little harsh. To me, it's like the way I look at vegetables. Iceberg lettuce is low-quality nutrient density, and kale is like the mightiest of vegetables. So to me, the kind of napping that happens on the treatment table is a little bit like the iceberg lettuce of sleep.
Oh, great analogy. Back to sleep. True sleep is what heals, and our tissue repair mechanisms are highly engaged during the rarefied sleep of night. In this episode, we not only quote Shakespeare, but also bring into the conversation a little discussed aspect of osteopathic history and address the issue of how AT still dealt with dissent in the early osteopathic profession. How did Still suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune in his life and then take arms against a sea of troubles? His outrageous fortune was the tragedy of his life situation with the sudden death of four of his children in a brief time span at the waning months of the Civil War. After the literal war between the states, he took arms against the sea of troubles by battling the status quo of the toxic medical system of the United States in the late 1800s. To give you a preview, during this fight, he was a medical warrior, yet he was not always magnanimous when it came to those who disagreed with his version of the fight to establish osteopathy as a valid healthcare system. Let's get back to the main event of this episode. Bonnie and I love taking on the little questions as well as the big questions. In this episode, we're going to tackle the thorny question, is it beneficial, unfavorable, or useless for a patient to fall asleep during an osteopathic treatment?
This is the seventh episode in our Practice of Osteopathy series, where we explore the details of an office visit that are not related to anatomy, biomechanics, or osteopathic manipulation. In this series, we look closely at the how to be with a patient in the most effective way. This how-to series is our exchange of ideas and an expression of our clinical wisdom. Steve and I have 70 years of combined clinical experience in osteopathy and medicine. Our Practice of Osteopathy series specifically, and Osteopathy Unplugged in general, brings our wisdom to your table. The next episode in this series will cover the topic of engine wiping, and we plan future episodes that will continue this theme of pragmatic osteopathy. As always, we invite our listeners to openly discuss their experiences. Please post questions on Patreon or on our Facebook page. We love questions and comments. Okay, let's get started. Steve.
This discussion regarding sleep predominantly applies to a single style of osteopathic treatment. When a patient falls asleep on the treatment table, or treatment couch in British osteopathy, it most commonly occurs during a cranial osteopathy type of treatment. There are exceptions, and we'll include those situations later. If the osteopath exclusively practices a high-velocity, low-amplitude, or thrusting-type manipulation, then the patient by design cannot fall asleep. If the osteopath practices a patient participation style of osteopathy, such as muscle energy technique or counterstrain, then it's very unlikely that the patient will fall asleep. If the osteopath primarily uses fascial distortion model, then the patient definitively will not fall asleep during this uncomfortable and aggressive direct action fascial approach.
If somebody falls asleep during one of these more physical treatment approaches, they are seriously in trouble.
Yeah. Consequently, we're restricting the discussion of this episode mainly to those who include cranial osteopathy or also a biodynamic approach during part or all of their treatment.
I considered it an important part of my practice to teach my patients breath awareness. I've always found that the most... The episode you've been listening to just faded out because you are not yet a subscriber to Osteopathy Unplugged. Please visit patreon.com/osteopathyunplugged and become a subscriber in order to have full access to the rest of this episode as well as the complete collection.
We have created a set of foundational episodes that will be available for free for everyone. These teachings provide an introduction to osteopathic clinical philosophy. However, the full versions of all episodes are only available through Patreon. Access Patreon through their app or through a browser page. Thank you for listening to Osteopathy Unplugged.
And thank you for your interest in the osteopathic experience.
Until next time, be well, listen deeply, and stay curious.